In this NYTS, I was assigned to study with you the book of Jeremiah. And there will be total 15 hours to study the book of Jeremiah. And please preview the book of Jeremiah within 2 days, from the first chapter to the last chapter. How many chapters are there in the book of Jeremiah? 52, right? So we are going to spend about 15 sections. So average speaking, each section we have to cover about 3 to 4 chapters. So we have to go pretty fast. We can only very briefly go through the highlight, not in detail. Let's see the teaching material. First, we introduce the author. The author is Jeremiah, number one. Jeremiah was chosen to serve as a prophet beginning in 626 BC and ending sometime after 586 BC. So you calculate how many years did Jeremiah serve as a prophet? How many years? Around 40 years served as a prophet. However, in that 40 years, he served through 5 kings. Which means within 40 years, there were totally 5 kings under his service. The first king is Josiah. The second king is Jehoahaz. The third king is Jehoakim. Then next one is Jehoiachin. And then Zedekiah. And two of the kings actually ran in a very short term. So this is the background. When did he serve as a prophet? Number two, the Lord commanded him to remain single for the impending judgment. Later on, when we go into the chapter by chapter, and you can find out that the impending judgment of God to Jerusalem is destruction and desolation. And God commanded Jeremiah to remain single, have no wife, no family, no children, because the day of judgment is so terrible. Jeremiah had to obey God's command to have no family, to be single. So we understood that to be a prophet require a lot of sacrifice and require absolute submission to the Lord. Only by doing so, he was able to experience the abundance and the guidance of the Lord. So I know a lot of you have a heart of serving God, and it takes time to discipline ourselves, to equip ourselves to be a vessel to serve him. For Moses, he spent 40 years to prepare himself ready. And everybody's preparation is different. When for Paul, after he was called, he wanted to serve the Lord. However, when he was preaching in Jerusalem, and then somebody wanted to kill him, and he retreated back to his hometown for a period of time until the time ripe. And God used Barnabas to call him out to serve him. So almost all the spiritual figures spend a period of time to retreat themselves and to be quiet and to face God and to do some spiritual preparation. So Jeremiah, when he served God, we can understand he was very, very submissive to the will of God. So he was a prophet of doom. You know, everybody wants to preach the good message. Nowadays in United States, you can see a lot of TV evangelists. They preach positive thinking. Just like a garden group, so-called Dr. Schuller, Crystal Cathedral. His program has been broadcast all over the world and attract a lot of audience. And you listen carefully, his message, there is no salvation. He only talk about positive thinking. And a lot of people like to listen. Based on the teaching of the Bible, you can learn positive thinking. And so a lot of people want to be emotionally pumped up and ready for work next day, Monday. By doing so, he was able to receive a lot of contribution. And there are some of the TV evangelists that emphasize on theology of success. What does that mean? They are not emphasizing on the eternal life, the eternal blessing. They are emphasizing on the blessing in this world. If you come and worship God and serve Him, this year you may drive a used car, but next year God will bless you to drive a new car, or something like that. If you drive a new car this year, you serve God and love Him and be close to Him, next year maybe you drive BMW, Mercedes. So a lot of people like to listen this kind of message, the blessing in this life, the blessing which you can touch, you can see. So they were able to receive a lot of contribution. But Jeremiah had done quite a reverse path. He preached the message of doom. Do you know, everybody, do you like to listen to the message of doom? You have to repent. If you don't repent, the judgment of it is coming. You'll be captured out of your hometown. Your children will be slaughtered. And somebody is going to take over your property. Your house will be burned down. I think after you come here to listen to this message, maybe the contribution will reduce half. Why? I already worked 5 days so hard, and I come to the church. I listen to this kind of message of doom. And exactly Jeremiah preaching that kind of message. So he attracted only a few friends. Because nobody wants to listen to the message of doom, right? You know, every day when you greet each other, what do you say? How are you, right? I think most of people saying this only a formality. If somebody asks you, how are you, and you start with, oh, no good, very sad, right? I tell you, after somebody asks you a few times, nobody is going to ask you the question. They are expecting your greatly, joyfully respond. No problem. Thank you. How are you? So this is only formality. So Jeremiah preached the message of doom, so they attract only a few friends. Why? Only the few friends know they need this kind of message. Actually, they need this kind of message, but a lot of people don't like to listen. They try to pretend nothing wrong with them. They try to pretend they can receive the blessing of God if they listen the message of blessing. They try to pretend without changing of their lifestyle, they were able to be blessed by God by listening the message of blessing. But it was not possible. And he aroused many enemies by conveying the message of God's judgment. So he was a very unpopular prophet. Do you know, serving the Lord, you can be very popular too. But most of the times, you can be very lonely, not very popular. If you want to be faithful to God, sometimes you will not be so popular. So what Jesus Christ say? If everybody say you are very good, what does that mean? If everybody praise you, wow, this worker, very good, very good. Oh, no matter where you go, everybody say, very good. Woe to you. Right, that's Jesus saying, woe to you. How come? You think about, So he aroused many enemies because he conveyed the message of God's judgment. Especially, the most elite members in that country. The kings, the prophet, the leaders, they want to listen to the message of blessing, the message of comfort. And when the message directed, focus on them, condemn them, about their wrongdoing, about their failure, to guide the Israelites in the right path, they were so enraged. They want to get rid of Jeremiah. So nowadays, in the last days, when you see, the sin prevailed, dominate most people of their life. You see, most people's of life, lifestyle is so secular. And the message of doom and the message of repentance is necessary. But this kind of message will make you become a lonely person, just like a Jeremiah. He conveyed the message of judgment. And why he had to convey the message of judgment? Because of their unfaithfulness by deserting God to worship the idol. So the Bible used the term of unfaithfulness. In other words, God's requirement to his chosen people is be faithful to him. So when we heard about the words of faithful or faithfulness, usually this term being applied to what? Where do we apply this term? I think it's marriage, right? It's in marriage. In a marital relationship, faithfulness is absolute, is a necessary. Because unfaithfulness will cause a lot of marriage breakup. And the relation between the Israelite and God actually is a marital relationship. Since it's a marital relationship, so there's a jealousy get involved. You know that in the Bible there are two kinds of jealousy, right? Is jealousy good or bad? All depends on what kind of jealousy you are talking about. If somebody better than you are, right, then you feel very sour feeling, I feel very bad. And that kind of jealousy comes from what? The lust of your flesh. And then you have to repent because you have no love. And you can never see a parent feel jealousy about the children. How can my children doing a better job than I do, right? Study better than I do. No parent will feel jealousy because of love. They are expecting their children doing a better job than their parents. However, among the friend or among your classmate, your colleague, jealousy always get involved. So that is no good. Jealousy will like a fire burning in your bones and cause a lot of problem. But another way of jealousy is necessary to protect the marriage. The jealousy between husband and wife is to protect the marriage. So when the Israelite's heart turned away from God and focused on the idol, God's jealousy was like a fire burning. So God used all different kind of means to convey the message to the Israelite, turn back to me, focus on me. But the Israelite refused to obey. So the message of judgment due to the fact of their unfaithfulness but deserting God to worship the idol. In the eyes of God, this is the most serious sin. Non-sin is more serious than unfaithful to God. But deserting God and worshiping the idol. So there are two kinds of relationships later on we are going to talk about. Number three. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Yesterday we took the picture, right? The group picture. I think we took the group picture a little bit too early, huh? Right after we took the picture, maybe some of you try to what? Use a wireless to what? Pass the picture, right? Through your computer. When you take the picture, right? What do you say? You smile or you're weeping? Right? When we take a picture, everybody say, geez, right? You try to take a picture of a smiling face. Maybe you can try in NYTS, every take picture learning from Jeremiah, weeping, and to see what kind of picture it looks like, right? And that will be the most memorable picture. But I bet you don't like to hang that picture in your living room, maybe in your drawer, but not in the living room. So nobody want to be weeping. Everybody won't be laughing. Everybody won't be joyful. Nobody want to feel sad. However, when Jeremiah was serving God in that 40 years, he cried all the times. He shed tears all the times. I know if you had time to read the Pauline letter, you count how many times Paul shed the tears. Paul shed a lot of tears. Well, there are two kinds of tears you shed. One is for your spiritual aspect. You feel no good, and you shed tears, repent before God. You are touched by the love of God, you shed tears. You are touched by the words of God, you shed tears. You are touched by the Holy Spirit, moved by His love, you shed tears. And this kind of tear is very precious, including the tear of crying, just like a weeping prophet. In the book of Psalms, God will collect all the tears, right? God will remember your tears. But if you go out and commit sin, being beat up, you cry a lot, that kind of tear doesn't count anything. That kind of tear is worthless. So the weeping prophet Jeremiah, in the eyes of God, God treasured him very much. He was a very faithful servant of the Lord. So I cannot recall anybody who served the Lord faithfully without shedding the tears. You know, in NYTS, if you don't behave very well, some of the loving workers, including the counselor or the minister, is going to shed tears. They have very high expectation to the youth in here. You know, the older generation gradually reach to the age of retirement. Another 10 or 20 years, you see, most of the full-time ministers maybe reach the retiring age. And it is the time for you prepare yourself to be ready to succeed the TJC work in the West Hemisphere. So we come here, we come with a long-term view. The burden of the holy work is waiting for you to carry it. So you come here is to prepare yourself ready to carry that kind of burden. So you are not coming here for like a camp, a summer camp, or like a retreat. Everything has its own timing. There's a timing you can relax, have fun, and there's a timing you should be serious and you should be focused. And this is the timing you should be serious and focused. So Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because of the heavy burden God entrusted to him. And which character his spirit of anguish. So while he was serving the Lord, he always vent out his anguish. Not because he complained to God that God asked him to do that, but because he really, a lot of time, he really feel very sad about the Israelite. Now, by repeating warning, by the mercy of God, they refuse to listen. The impending judgment is so terrible, it seems they feel nothing. It's coming, but it seems they feel it's very far away. So Jeremiah, out of heart of mercy, he weep. Because all these kind of Israel are like an infant, spiritual baby, without knowing what they are doing. They only understand God is respectable only when the punishment of God came to them. When God used a very nice words to remind them, they refuse to listen. So their kind of childish make Jeremiah weep a lot. So his spirit of anguish. And he was timid in the beginning. He was timid because he realized he was very young. He was inexperienced nowadays. Do you know a lot of people respect experienced workers? But if you are new workers, a lot of people just, well, you are inexperienced. When I was the first, I think, first year in my full-time ministry, at that time I was, 28 years old. One day I was in a in my dinner. There was an elderly brother, 60 years old, riding a bicycle and come to the church. And while it was at dinner time, I was eating, and he just sit beside me, keep on talking. He has difficulty with his daughter-in-law. So I was keeping listening for about 30 minutes. I was pondering what kind of message I have to comfort him. But you know what he said? After he finished the conversation, he said, well, I only vent out my frustration. You are a child. You cannot do anything. So he called me a child. I was 28 years old. Yes, in his eye, maybe I was a child. So a lot of people treat the inexperienced worker just like a child. So Jeremiah was feel very timid because he was young and he was inexperienced, so he was very timid. However, because of he became fearless and courageous, and these two points are very important. Fearless and courageous. Fearless. You fear nothing. Courageous. You are willing to go. You dare to go. Right. Fearless and courageous. You know that when Peter was preaching, right? Peter was preaching. A lot of people tried to persecute him, tried to stone him to death, right? But Peter was preaching fearlessly and courageously. So they find out, he must be the one who followed Jesus Christ. How come? After they saw Peter was so bold, was not timid because of the persecution, and they realized they followed Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was a person, fearless and courageous. When he was facing towards Jerusalem, he knew he was going to drink the bitter cup, but he never retreat himself. He never find excuse. He proceed forwards, marching onwards. So right now, we are not marching to the path of Golgotha, right? How many of you, when you say, let's go to Africa to do a missionary work, how many of you are willing to go? What kind of life the Africa is? If I can make a parable, right? Africa's life, maybe it's compare the life here, nothing you can compare, right? Even you sleep in the chapel, you still have what? Carpet. But in Africa chapel, there's no carpet. All right? When you kneel down and pray, and you kneel down on the cement ground, that will be best, cement ground. In the countryside, you just kneel down on the mud. There's small stone, right? Something will come into your skin. A lot of mosquitoes, and do you know, only the mosquito is still bearable. Some of the mosquitoes will carry malaria, and that most fearsome. a lot of things. So fearlessly and courageously means regardless where God sent me to go, I will go. No excuse. And that was the spirit of Jeremiah. And why he became fearless and courageous in serving the Lord? Because he received repeated reaffirmation of his commission as a prophet. This kind of reaffirmation come from God. So Jeremiah, in his service to the Lord, he has a very, very life relationship and close relationship with the Lord. And this is critically important. And this is most often has been neglected. When we receive an assignment from the church, we are not receiving an assignment from men. We are receiving assignment from God himself. Just like you have been ordained as an elder, deacon, or a full-time minister, you have been elected a council member, or you have been chosen an RE teacher, something like this. This assignment is not from men. It's through men, but it comes from God himself. But if we want to have our job done very good, we have to cultivate a very good relationship with God. Why? Because in the process of fulfilling your assignment, there will be a lot of difficulties. There will be a lot of what? In that time, a lot of persecutions. And only we have a very good interaction with God himself, then we were able to receive reassurance. We were able to receive comfort. We were able to receive the strength. We were able to receive the hope from the Lord. And that will make us continue to serve him until we finish our assignment. So there are two kinds of ending of serving the Lord. If you find out a person serving the law in the end complain a lot and cause the faith slide backwards, even don't come to the church, I tell you, while the person is serving the law, they don't have good relation with God. So the servitude become a destruction of a person's faith. But if a person have a good relation with God, always maintain that kind of life interaction with God, no matter what kind of suffering, what kind of sacrifice the person experiences, in the end, you are going to, the spirituality is going to elevate higher and higher and higher. Just like Paul, just like Moses, just like Jeremiah. So while we are serving the Lord, we should not only focus the work the church instructed to me. We have to focus on God who entrusted me the work. This is critical important. Where should your focus? Jeremiah focused on God, not only the entrustment of God. Okay. Number four. Jeremiah was a worker with character. Now, if you read the whole chapter of our book, from chapter 1 to last chapter, he was a worker with character. He always conveys his deep struggle. You know, human beings, we all have feeling, right? And Jeremiah was did not bury his feeling in his heart. So his feeling, he just vent it out. But one thing is good is what? He vent out towards God, the one he used. He did not vent out to those who are inferior than him, spiritually. So definitely, when in the process of serving the Lord, you are going to have different kind of feeling. Some is joyful feeling, some is unhappy feeling, because a lot of things cannot go according to your will, cannot go according to your plan. But the question is, where do you vent out your feeling? That is the question. Where do you vent out your struggle? You know, some of workers, they have a bad feeling, they have a struggle, and what? Then look at the newcomer come to the church, right? Because the older church member already tired of my complaining. So nobody want to listen. Now there's a newcomer. I grab the newcomer. Listen. I tell you, I serve in the church. Nobody, I was mistreated. I was misunderstood. A lot of people persecute me. And after you talk 30 minutes, right, that newcomer don't come to anymore. All right. Oh. And after you complain to a lot to the newcomer, then you start to, hey, believe in Jesus, very good, oh. Oh, it'll give you joy and peace. All right. But all your complaints already discount your message. You give 50 minus, and then you give another 50 plus. You add up equal to zero. But most often, you give 100 minus, you give 10 plus. You put it together, 90 minus. So if you have any anguish, you have any struggle, what should you do? First, you tell God. You need to pray. You cry to God, just like Jeremiah. The second, if you really want to vent out your struggle, tell those who are better than you, spiritually. Also, quite often, in my home, I receive the telephone. I keep on listening. The member call me. 30 minutes non-stop, keep on talking. On mobile phone, you listen. 30 minutes. Do you know I have limited airtime? Do you know? I have limited airtime. I keep on 30 minutes. But I still have to listen. Why? Because after you listen, you are able to see what problem of his servitude. After the person vent out all the struggle and frustration, you are able to instill the positive thinking from the Bible. So I'm not complaining to you. I'm saying you are welcome. If you have anything struggle, just call me. But the best way, if you call my mobile phone, after night or weekend. Okay, that's number four. Okay, and number four, and stated his honest feeling about God. He was very honest, so he can learn a lot.